Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is about Matzia, daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on, daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. We are, I forgot exactly where we are. I think we're up to Maridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavui Tanoihi. I think that's where we left off. Maridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavui Tanoihi. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's about 10 lines from the end of the page. Last was line our Maridin Karov. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnold's Second Children and the Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, the Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzacha for our soldiers and for our captives. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Bruckheimer in honor of the recent birth of a great-granddaughter, Tavital and Ellie Pressburger of Carmel Gad. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to go back to that discussion of Maridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavui, that if a person is being held captive, what do we do with his nechassim? What do we do with his fields that need tending, that need caring for? And we're going to suggest that maybe that is in fact a machlokas tanaim, and we're going to quote the actual original machlokas amaraim on that issue. And then the Gemara is going to discuss on the top of Amud Aleph about getting peiros from a field that you've been taking care of in the owner's absence, meaning to what extent are you entitled to the peiros from those fields. And then the Gemara is going to talk about what a husband gets from an investment in his wife's property, in the nichsei melug of his wife. If he puts something into that, what's he entitled to at the end of that? And then the Gemara is also going to talk about whether someone is being yorid the nichsei katan, and a katan being yorid into other people's nechassim, meaning this idea that when we're reading the nichsei kar of the nichsei shavui, how does that apply to a katan? What if a katan is the one that's the person being held captive? What if the katan is the one that is being yored? Is that would we apply the same dinim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss a case where a woman and one of her three daughters were captured, and we don't know if they're alive, and if they died, who died first? So who should be the one that is yored to the nechassim? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to tell a story where a man claimed to be a brother of somebody, but they didn't recognize him. He said, "I'm your brother, so I yarshin along with you." And he says, "You don't look like my brother. I don't know. I don't think I even have a brother." So the question is, who do we believe if a person claims to be a brother and we don't know? And the other guy claims he doesn't have any brother. So let's begin again. Umarid l'nichsei karov l'nichsei shavui tanai, about 10-12 lines from the end of the page, says the Gemara. The discussion that we were having yesterday about if someone is being held captive and therefore he's unable to tend to his fields, so do we allow a karov to go in and take care of those fields? There's a risk factor involved in that he might just suck all its nutrients dry because he figures he's only got a small amount of time in this field till the relative returns, so he might as well get everything he can out of it, and the fellow may return to a field that's been completely destroyed. On the other hand, he may keep this field going so that weeds don't grow and he's going to be able to get something out of this field to keep it productive. So says Gemara, Maridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavui Tanoihi. Whether we should put a karov in the field to take care of it is a machlokes tanoim. D'tanya, we have a braisa. Yorid L'Nichsei Shavui, if a person goes to work in a field that belongs to a captive, ein motzino somiyada, we don't take it away from him. V'lo od ela filu shama shemashvinu vayin, even if the guy who was yorid into the field hears that the bailim is on his way back, v'kada metolish v'yachal, so he quickly detaches whatever fruits are still attached to the ground, and he goes and he eats them. Hareza zaris v'niskar, so good, so he benefited from those fruits, and he doesn't have to pay for that which he chapped in the last minute, because since the shavui that they heard that we're talking about a shavui means that they heard that he had died, as we'll soon see in the brisa. So it turns out that the karov that's yored to these nechassim is yored al das to eat all of the peiros, not just like an aris, not just like a sharecropper, like a regular, that like he's the owner, because he's a karov, he stands to yarshin it, and there were rumors that the fellow had died, so he assumed that he was going in and taking over the field, and therefore he's zoche in whatever he eats in the field. And the Bryce elaborates and says explicitly, what are nichsei shvuyin that we're talking about over here? We're talking about a case case where a fellow went to Medina Siam and they heard about him that he died. They heard that he's no longer around. So therefore, when the relative goes into this field, he's assuming that he's standing to be Yoresh this field. And again, Tosfos pointed out yesterday, Shamu Bo Shemes is dafka that it's Shamu Bo Shemes, but not they have Eidus Shemes. If you have Eidus Shemes, then it's a different story. Then you know for sure that he died. Then there's nothing to talk about. Then obviously the Yoresh Yarshins, if you have Eidus Shemes. Then we say, Hayorin the Nichsei Nitushim. If a person goes into the Nechasim of fields that are Nitushim from their Bailim, so Motziyin Osam Yado, that we take away from him. Ve'eluei Nichsei Nitushim, what does that mean? What are Nitushim? Hareshayav Ve'och Ve'ochim and Rishon Alchul and Medina Siam. One of your close relatives went to Medina Siam, Ve'lo Shamu Behem Shemes. And there are no rumors as to their demise. Va'amar Rav Shimon Gamliel Shamati Shanetushim Keshvuyin. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I disagree. I heard that Netushim have the same din as the first category, as the Shvuyim. And someone who's Yorin Nuxin Netushim also is entitled to whatever payros he gets from that field. So it turns out that we have Machlokas, Tanakama, and Rav Shimon Gamliel if we are Morid Okarov to Nichsei Shavui when we don't hear that he had died. That according to the Tanakama, it's Ein Moridin. If we don't know that he had died, we do not allow a Karov to go in and just take whatever payros that field is going to produce, like Rav, like the Shita of Rav that we learned yesterday. And according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we are Morid, the Karov, because Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's the same din as the first din, as Shvuyin, that when you don't know that, when you have not heard rumors that he had died, it has the same din as when you did hear rumors that he died, which means that the Karov is entitled to go into the field and take all the payros. So that, then the Brisa talks about a third case. So far the Brisa has only spoken about two cases. We have Shvuyin and we have Netushim. Shvuyin means that we heard that he died. Netushim means that we haven't heard that he died, but it's otherwise the same as a Shavui. And then we have a third case, Hayori the Nichsei Ritushim, Motziyin Osam Yado. Ve'elei Nichsei Ritushim. What are Nichsei Ritushim? So if the guy goes, if a relative comes into the field of Ritushim, we're going to take it right away from him. We're going to take it away from him. What are Ritushim? That one of your relatives was here and then they left. They weren't captured. They weren't forced to go. And we have no idea where they went. So you can't let a Karov go into that field at all, because since he was Yotze on his own volition, he just went on a trip and he never told anybody to do anything with his nechassim. We can't just do whatever we want with his nechassim. So, why is it that when he had to leave Balkarcho, we call him Nitushim, and why is it that when he left on his own volition, we call him Ritushim? So, the Gemara explains, Nitushim de Balkarchan. Nitushim means that the Baal left Balkarchan, and we find that Lashon in the Torah about something that happens bal karcho d'chsiv, because when it talks about the iser of avodas hakarka during a shnas hashmita, the pasuk says v'ashviyas tishmetena unetashta, that it says v'ashviyas tishmetena unetashta, which means during Shemitah, abandon your land from working in it. You shouldn't do any harish or zriya. And also, unetashta from any zibul, the idur, any other types of avodah that are less than charish and zareya. So it means to afkasa demalka. It means something that you're forced to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands bal korcheinu that we're not allowed to work the land during Shemitah. So we see the lashon of unetashta means an abandonment that's bal korcha of the bailim. So we hear also, when we talk about fields that are in the Tushim, means that the Bailim were forced to leave those fields. Ritushim demidaitan. Ritushim in the Torah always means midaitan, or in the Tanakh means midaitan d'chsiv, because the pasuk in Hosea says the full pasuk is Kam Shaon Ba'amecha V'Chol Mitzrach Yushad Keshod Shalman Beis Ervel Biyom Melchama Eim Albanim Rutasha. So Hosea was misnabe that enemies were going to come and attack us, and mothers are going to abandon their children like people who are running away from invading troops, that they have to abandon their children. So too, they're gonna abandon their children because of the fear of the Oyev, and so it's Emal Banim Rutasha, that they're choosing to abandon, that it's not someone that's forcing them to abandon, that they're choosing to abandon. just in the confusion and everything else that they. So that's Ritushim implies something that's Midaitan. So again, why do we quote this whole Brisa? Because the Brisa had three different parts. It's the second part that's critical to us, right? We had a case where a person was held captive. And we heard that he died. Case where a person is held captive and we didn't hear that he died. In case where a person just left on his own. So the case where he's held captive and we didn't hear that he died. So that was a machlokas. Time to come in Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether someone who goes into that property, a relative who goes into that property and takes care of it, is entitled to the payros. So that's exactly our machlokas of Marid and Karov. L'nechsei Shavoy. Do you allow a Karov to go in and take the payros from the nechasim of a Shavoy? Okay, so now the Gemara discusses which nechasim we're talking about. The Brisa that someone who's Yored could take like a sharecropper. So Tanav Kulam, anyone who goes into a field of a person who's not around, Shamalem Ka'aris, that if the Bailim were to come and to take the Peros and the Shevach that the person was Mashpiach the Karka, so you do the division the way you would for a sharecropper. So Aheya, which case in the Brisa is that talking about that we treat it like an Aris? So remember, there were three cases in the Brisa. There was Shvuyin, Netushin, Retushin, right? So which case of the Brisa do we say that he's like an Aris? If we're talking about the case of a Shvuyin, which meant that we heard that the guy died, Hashav Zarz V'Niskava, that if he's considered a Zarz V'Niskava, that even if you hear the guy's coming back and you just quickly hop all the payrolls and we say, you're a Zarz V'Niskava, don't worry, you get to keep whatever you took. So you need to tell me that he takes like an aris in whatever he's mashpiach the karka, that as much as he improves the karka, he gets to take like an aris. He's a yorin v'rishus. Of course, a yorin v'rishus takes like an aris. Ella, so what do we want to say? Go to the other extreme. Ritushim. It's going on case number three on someone who had left his field, midaito, and then I went in and I took over the field. V'motzino samiyadu katani. But they can't be telling me that guy gets to take like an aris. V'alach is motzino samiyadu. We take all these nechasim away from the guy. He has no right to be in that field to begin with. Ella must be the middle case. A nitushim. That we're talking about someone who had left Bal Karcho, but there are no rumors that he had died. So the man, well, which shita in nitushim are we assuming like? Ilim the Rabbanan, if we're assuming like the shita of the Rabbanan, Hamri Matsino Samiyado. The Rabbanan say that it's Matsino Samiyado, meaning that nitushim is similar to ritushim. And the Iram Shum Gomliel, Hamri Amar. He said that it's like Shvuyin, meaning it doesn't really help you to say that we're going on the case of Nitushin. Once you tell me that the case of Shvuyin doesn't work and the case of Ritushin doesn't work, Nitushin is just a machlokas, whether it's the same as Shvuyin or the same as Ritushin. So it's not its own category, it's just a machlokas, which of the other two categories it belongs to. So either way, it's not going to work that he takes like an aris. Either it's obvious that he gets to take at least like an aris, or of course he doesn't get to take anything from the Shevach, because he had no right to be there. We'd confiscate the whole field from him entirely. So the Gemara answers that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the din of Nitushim is not exactly like the din of Shvuyin. It's not exactly like the din of a case where we heard that the guy died. Kishvuyin velo Shvuyin. Meaning in one din, it's similar to Nichse Nitushim are similar to Nichse Shvuyin, and the Kabe, another din, it's not so similar. Kishvuyin dein motzino samiyado. It's similar to the din of Shvuyin in that we don't take it away from him. Velo Shvuyin, but it has a din that's not exactly the same as Shvuyin. Dilu Hasam, when a person is Yorid the Nichse Shvuyin, if he's Kadam Vitalash, when he hears the Bailam's coming, he wants to chop whatever he can. Zarz Viniskar, we say, God, you can't keep whatever you want. Vilu Hacha, but by Netushim, he can't do that. He's not allowed to eat all the peros as soon as he hears that the Bailam's coming back. Rather, Shamin Le Ka'aris, we assess those peros and the Shevach of the Karka like we would in Aris. So now I understand why the Brisa has to tell me this din, that someone is Yorid the Nichse Netushim, even though he's not Zoche in all the payrolls that he's called the Va'achal, but nevertheless, it's Shamin Lo Ka'aris. We would at least treat him like an Aris. And now the Gemara discusses, why should someone who's Yorid into Nichse Shavui, who takes like an Aris, be any different than a Baal, who spends money investing in his wife's Nechasim, where he does not take like an aris when they get divorced. So Maishna Mehadatnan, why should the din of Yori the Nichse Shavui, when someone's being held captive and you go into the field and you take care of it, where you then get to take out from their field like an aris. Why should that be any different me'al detanan from that which we learn in Maseches Ksubos in a Mishnah that a motzi otzos al nichsei ishto, that if a person spends money to invest in his wife's nichsei melug, that the halacha is that the property belongs to the woman, the husband is ochel the payros from that property. Hotzi harbe, if he spent a lot of money to improve the property, v'achal kima, and he only got a little bit out of it, or kima v'achal harbe, he put in a small investment and he got a large yield from that investment, masha otziotzi, masha achal achal. He doesn't take anything with his nechasim. Whatever payros he got while they were still married, he got, and whatever money he spent, he spent. But there's nothing further that he's going to get out of that property. So why should that be any different? Why shouldn't we say that he gets like an artist and that he's entitled to some portion of the improvement of the property, like an artist would be entitled to? Why is it any different than a car being yorid the nichsei shavui? So it says Mara Hallo Damya, the din of yorid the nichsei shavui is not at all similar to a husband investing in his wife's nichsei meluk. Hallo Damya Ella Lahad Amrav Yaakov Amrav Chista Motzi Otzos on nichsei to Ketana. It's similar to that which we say that if a person spends money investing in the properties of his Ishto Ketana. Ishto Ketana means not just that she's a Ketana, there are two ways a Ketana get married. The classic way is that her father gives her over for a kiddushin. But if she doesn't have a father, then midrabanan, her mother and brother, give her over for a kiddushin. But if you do that, since it's only midrabanan, she has the ability to be mima'enes. She has the ability to beg out of that marriage and to get out of it. And the whole kiddushin is therefore uprooted. Because so that's all talui on the rabbanan. And the Chum said that the kiddushin is nisbatel if she's mima'enes. So whatever expenses he put, whatever investment he put into that property that she owns, kimotzi al nichsei acher dami. It's like going into someone else's property and being mashpiach the property, where you take like an aris in that which you are mashpiach the property. Alma, it's muchach from there that even a husband spends money at the time that he thought that he's going to have that property and he thinks he's making an investment in himself in his own property. Kivin to losam chadaiti, since we're not sure that it's that the property is going to remain in his hands, because she might be mima enes, she might ask out of the marriage. So the Rabbanan made a takana that let him get like an aris so that he not destroy the property by constantly planting over and over and over again and sucking out every nutrient that this property has. So chanami, so too when it comes to yoru the nixle shavui, where there's a chashash at any moment that the shavui might return, the Rabbanan had to make a special takana that he gets like an aris, as opposed to a regular marriage. When a man gets married to a woman, he's not thinking, oh, if we get divorced tomorrow. No, he's thinking that this is my wife and we're going to, that's it. We're in this together forever. So he's not going, there's no need to make a takana that he should be nota like an aris. Okay, then the Bryce said, v'kulon shamad lahem ka'aris, that in all cases we assess like an aris. V'kulon asuyimai, what do you mean in all cases like an aris? What's that coming to include? La'asuyi adam rav nachem, rav shmuel, shavish nishba, maridim karov l'nechasav, that if a person is held captive, a karov goes down into his nechasim to take care of it. Yatzal l'da'as, ein maridim karov l'nechasav. If he went down l'da'as, meaning he left l'da'as, he wasn't being held captive anywhere, then a karov does not go into his nechasim. V'ranachman didei amar, boreach hareyu kishavui, that if a person had to run away, that's not considered that he left l'da'as. Well, why did he have to run away? If it's because of a head tax that he's trying to avoid, hayno ladas. What do you mean? That's ladas. That he's not. He chose to leave. No, must be that he was accused of murder, and he knew that they're going to kill him for that. So that's already a different type of running away, where he was running for his life. So if he's running for his life, that's what we saw the Gemara at the end of Baba Kama, that the minig of the parsim is that they're horig al shlichas damim, is that they have a death penalty by the parsim. So he knew he had to run away from the parsim because they're going to kill him. So when he's running for his life, he's so bohul, he's so in a tizzy and so not thinking straight that he doesn't have a chance to tell anyone who to take care of his nechasim. And therefore, it has a din of nichsei nitushim, where we're morid a karov to the nechasim, and that karov takes like an aris. Amar Rav Shmuel, shavish nishba v'niach kama liktsar. If someone is taken captive and he left standing grain that's ready to be harvested, anavim liktsar, tamarim ligdos, zeisim limsok, any type of produce that's ready to be taken from the field, Beis Din Yordan Nechassim Mavidin Apotropos. Beis Din goes down into the field and they set up an apotropos for those Nechassim, and that apotropos will put an aris in place. V'kotzer, v'otzer, v'goder, v'mosek, and that aris is then going to do whatever harvesting needs to be done. V'achar kach moridin karov l'nechassim. And once that initial harvest is taken, then we let a karov of the shavoy go and work that karka going forward. So ask the Gemara, why after the harvest being taken, v'lokum apotropos li'olam? Why do we then let the karov go and just let the apotropos take care of it and oversee the field forever? Says Mara, atropel diknani lomakaminan. Bezin is not tareach to ask an apotropos to work on fields that belong to adults. No one's ever going to want to do that job. When does Bezin appoint an apotropos? That's for nichse ketanim, not for nichse gedolim. Two opinions in Rishonim, what the difference is. Why are people more than happy to do this for ketanim and not for gedolim? So Rashi writes, because it's a dvar mitzvah for Kedadim. So a person's eager to do a mitzvah. For Gedolim, they don't feel it's a dvarme, you know, it's for a yasom, so I want to take care of a yasom. But I'm not so eager to take care of other people. In the Chidushim Mikhasim L'Ritva, he says that people agree to do it only for Nichsei Yisomim because you know that that there's a time limit. And as soon as they become bar mitzvah, then it's not your problem anymore. But a guy's being held captive, a gedolim, it could be forever. And if I don't know what the end is, so I'm not willing to take something on that doesn't have an end time. There's Machlokas Rishonim that if in a situation where you find a willing apotropos for Nichsei Gedolim, meaning is the whole reason why we don't keep it in the hands of an apotropos because we don't have confidence we'll find an apotropos. What if the guy who you appointed temporarily says, yeah, I'm fine keeping this job, it's fine, I'll oversee the whole thing. Do we then allow Krovim to come in, or do we say then we keep it in the hands of the apotropos? So the Rashba writes that if someone agrees to be an apotropos, so then fine, then good, let him be an apotropos. If some of the Gemara said, the only reason we don't do it is because we can't find someone. The Torah quotes from the Rash that even if someone wants to be an apotropos for the Nifsei Shavui, the Yorish could be Ma'akev, that you can't let him in there because it's not Matsui, so Beis Din has no automatic right to appoint an apotropos. Whereas in Mukhe Yosef quotes from the Ra'ah that even if he's coming Miritzono and the Yorish does not get in the way and does not stop him and the Yorish does not object to it, still we're not Miman and Apotropos. That it's not the Derech of Bnei Adam to be Tareach Bifnei Gedolim, so Rechoshesh that this Apotropos is just not going to work out. So three opinions, if an apotropos says he's willing to do it. So one opinion is, good, then that's it. Don't allow the krovim in. The other opinion is, it's up to the karov to be ma'akev or not. And third opinion is, even if the karov agrees, we do not allow an apotropos in because we just don't think it's going to work out. So now the Gemara brings a number of dinim about moridin karov l'nechsei shavui. So this sugya that we're involved in. So Amar Rav Huna, a moridin katan l'nechsei shavui. If that relative is a katan, he can't be the one to take care of the field of the person being held captive. V'lo karov l'nechsei katan. If it's the katan being held captive, then a karov cannot be, we're not moored a karov into that field either. V'lo karov machmas karov l'nechsei katan. Even if he's not a karov of the katan, he's a karov of the guy who's a karov of the katan, he also can't be yored into the nechassim. Sayin reading katan l'nechsei shavui, so let's go and attack each and understand each of these dinim one by one. We can't allow a katan take over Nichsei Shavidim Mafsalu because the Katan is going to destroy the Nechassim. He doesn't know how to work Karka. He's going to ruin the whole thing. V'lo Karov Machmas Karov L'Nichsei Katan. And we said, nor even can we have the third thing we said was that a Karov of a Karov cannot go into Nichsei Katan. Ba'acheme Ima. We're talking about that a person who shares a mother with the guy who shares a father with the Katan. So the Katan is being held captive. His paternal brother is a guy, and that guy's maternal brother is the one that wants to go into the Nechassim. We have to be choshish that maybe the guy is going to taina that these Nechassim belong to his brother Me'imo, that he yarshined from his his father together with that katan, and then he's going to come and say that he should have a chalukah in it. And the second din of v'lo karov l'nichse katan, kiven d'lo machi asila achzuke bay, that since a katan is not going to know to make a macha'a, the reason you can't put someone into the field of a katan, he's not going to know to make a macha'a that this field belongs to me when he comes back, so we can't just put someone else in that property. So Amar Rav Shema Minamid Rav Huna, we see from Rav Huna, who says that we don't put a karov into nichse katan, but we'll instead just put someone who's not related to nichse katan, that ein machzikin bin nichse katan, that a cheska shalosh shanim does not work in the nechasim of a katan. Meaning we do not assume that if someone's been in property for 3 years that has previously been known to belong to a katan, it does not work as a cheska gimel shanim. Vafilu higdil, even if the person was machzikin for gimel shanim after the katan already became bar mitzvah, that since he started to be machzik in the field while the guy was still a katan, so even if he then grows up and he sees that this person continues to be machzik in this field, he's not going to know to make a macha'a. And that's muchach from Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that a karov is not morid to nichse katan. Sounds like someone else we will be morid into nichse katan. But if you're going to say that a chazaka is going to work when that katan becomes a gadol, how could I put someone else into the nechasim of a katan? Shouldn't I be choshesh that he's going to establish a chazaka, he's going to be able to take that field away? Elamai, must be that he'll never have the ability to establish a chazaka. So the Gemara brings a discussion whether there are cases where we will allow a karov to go into nichse katan. V'lo amaran ela ba'achid abba. This idea that we don't allow a karov into nichse katan is only when the karov is a brother of the katan from his father's side. So since that brother yarshins the nichse aviv together with him, he might taina that the karka that he's been taking care of is his portion of the Yerusha. So that's what we're nervous about, that we're going to let the karov go into the nichse katan, then the karov is going to say, I wasn't taking care of the katan's property, I was taking care of my own property because it's mine. I yarshin this from dad. Avul ba'achi di'ima. But if he's a brother from the mother's side, less than ba, then there's no problem of letting him go into the nichse katan. We don't have to be choshesh that he's going to hang on to that property and say that he was the one that yarshined it. Because since he's an ach me'aim, doesn't yarshin nechasim together with him that he got from his father, right? I have no relationship to this guy's father. I'm only related to we only share a mother. Obviously, I'm not going to yarshin his father's property, so there's no concern that I'm going to claim to be the rightful yoresh of that property. So, and the acheda abba, and the idea that a paternal brother cannot be yorid the nichse katan, nami lo amaran el ba'ar asa. That's only when it comes to fields, because I have to be choshesh that I'm going to claim that it's my part of the yerusha. Avul bebati, but if it's houses that were in the katan's possession, less than, but we don't have to worry that he's going to be machzik in those nechasim with the taina that he's the rightful yoresh of that property, because all of the neighbors know that that was the katan's property, meaning when it's houses, you're in a residential neighborhood. So neighbors always know what's going on with the houses around them, right? People like to hawk about what's going on, which houses are for sale and who's moving in, and so everyone always knows what's going on. So they know that that's the katan's house. A field in the middle of nowhere, no one's going to necessarily be aware of what's going on. That's how Rashi understands. The Meiri writes that it's the derech by batim that there's a more of a kol than there is by sadas. So we're choshesh that the guy's going to claim that it's his when it comes to a sada, but not so much when it comes to a house. And then the Gemara says uba arasa, and when it comes to land that the katan owns, where we said that you cannot put his paternal brother into that field to take care of it, nami lo amaran el delo avid itda. That's only if they did not make a shtar chaluka. They didn't write a shtar which field belongs to which of the yorshim. Avil avid itda, but if they actually had a shtar chalukah where it was all spelled out, so kali isla, then there's a call to that shtar and everyone will know that that field belongs to the katan. And people who know that will let the katan know when he gets older that that field is his, so that he should say something about it and reclaim his field. So three qualifications that we said. That ein moridin karov nichse katan, we said exception number one, if it's a maternal brother, we could be moridin nichse katan. Exception number two is if it's a house as opposed to a field. And exception number three is even if it's a field and it's a paternal brother, but it's we wrote there was a shtar chalukah on the Yerusha that everyone everyone knows about. So it says Mer Velohi. None of these chilukim are correct. Loshna achidaba, loshna achidima. It doesn't make a difference if it's a paternal brother or a maternal brother. Loshna arasa, loshna bati. We don't distinguish between houses and fields. Loshna avidita, loshna lo avidita. We don't make a distinction whether you made a shtar chalukah or not. Lo machtinan. We do not allow a relative into nichse katan. Period. That's that's the end of the story. The Rashba explains, even if they wrote a shtar chalukah, they're not going to remember which karka goes to the chelik of the katan and which karka goes to the yorid. So we have to be choshesh that maybe this guy's going to be able to take it from the katan. The Ritva says, oh, we're just choshesh, and maybe a kol didn't go out because of the shtar chalukah. But whatever the reason is, the Gemara in the end of the day says we're not going to make any of these three distinctions that we just tried to make. So now the Gemara discusses, what if you have a suffix whether the Shavui is dead, and there's a Yorish that's a Katan and a Gadol. So what do you do with the Nechasim? So he Safta, we tell the story. There was an old woman, so we got to keep track of what's going on in this story. There was an older woman, Davila Tlas Benasa. She had three daughters. So she owned some property. She had three daughters. So they all stand to Yarshin her, right? So Shtavai Ihi V'chadabarta. She and one of her daughters were taken captive. Idach Tarti Binsa, Shchi V'chadaminayu V'shavka Yenuka. Of the two daughters that were not taken captive, one of them died and left her own daughter. Meaning, so there's now a granddaughter that is left behind, who's a katana. There's a daughter who's a gedola, and there's a daughter in captivity with the woman who's the owner of the nechasim. So Rabbi Hechi Navid, Rabbi said, what do we do with the nechasim of this old lady? We don't know if she's alive or dead. So should we give all the nechasim to the daughter that's still here? Meaning one daughter is with her in captivity, another daughter is dead. So should we just let the daughter that's still here take over the property like the sheet of Rav Shmuel Gamliel that were married in Kar of Lenichse Shavoy? But I have to worry, Dilma Shechiv Vesavta. Maybe the old lady died, and therefore all three daughters stood to Yarshin her. So one third of the Nechasim belongs to the young child. It was Shavka Yenuka was a young boy, a young grandson. Right? One third of the property belongs to the young grandson of the deceased daughter. Or it could be that the daughter that's with her in captivity also died, and therefore that little child is entitled to half of the property. And how can I let the daughter that remains behind and alive take over all the property? Vein Muridin Karov Nichse Katan. You can't allow Karov into Nichse Katan. So I can't allow that girl to take the whole property, that surviving daughter that's still here to take the whole property. So what else am I going to do? Nukminu l'nichse biyadu diyunuka. Should I give the nechasim to the child? Well, dilalo shchiva safta. Maybe grandma's still alive, and the katan has no rights to any of this property. Vein moridin katan l'nichse shavui. And a katan cannot go take over nichse shavui. That's one of the rules. They can't have a katan in nichse shavui. So Abaye says, okay, what are we going to do? Hilkach, since we're not sure if the grandma is dead or not, Palga Yivna Lala Achasa. Half of the Nechasim we give to the sister that's still here, Mimanavshach, to the daughter that's still here, Mimanavshach. Because if the grandma and the sister that's with her in captivity died, so she yarshined already half of the Nechasim. And if they didn't die, so she's a relative of the grandmother and Moridin Karov, the Nechse Shavui. So she can go and take over grandma's property. She would technically be able to take over all of grandma's property if we knew that grandma didn't die. V'idach palga, and the other half of the nechasim, mekvinin le'apotropos yenuka. We establish an apotropos for the child, but we don't allow him to go into the nechasim because they have to be choshesh that maybe grandma's not dead, and you're not allowed to be morid katan to nechse shavui because he might destroy the property. So we put his half in the hands of an apotropos, and that's yorid l'nechasim like an aris, and he gives the katan whatever chelik arisus he has, whatever chelik of that he would normally get as a sharecropper to be supported with. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, migo de makmin apotropos lepalga, makmin apotropos l'idach palga. Once an apotropos is in the picture anyway, we just let the apotropos take care of the entire property. L'sov shamu d'shchiv esafta. In the end of the story, Gemara doesn't always give you the PS of the story of what happened. Right at the end of the story, they found out that the grandma had died, but they still didn't know whether the daughter that was held with her in captivity had died. So once you know grandma died, you know that there's a Yerusha. But we're not sure how many ways to split this Yerusha, because if the daughter that was held with her in captivity, who didn't have any children of her own, also died, so the Yerusha gets split in two ways. But if it's if she's still alive, the Yerusha gets split in three ways. So Amar Abaye Tilta, one third of the Chasim of the grandma, Yavina Lala Chasa, you certainly give to the sister that's here. Vitilta Yavina Lala Yanuka, one third of the property you certainly give to the child, because he certainly is Yoresh at least one third. Vi'idach Tilta, that third third that would go to the surviving daughter that's still there in captivity, if she's still alive. So what do? Yavina Danka Lala Chasa, we take half of that third and give it to the sister, because she can Mimanavshuk take it. If her sister died in captivity, so she yarshins that portion. And if her sister did not die, so Maridin Karvan Lichsei Shavli. V'idach Danka, and the other half of that third, Mukmina Le'apatrapa Le'anuka, we have an apatrapas for the child, because if the daughter is still alive in captivity, then he doesn't really yarshin it, and a katan cannot take over that property. We're not moridin katan l'nichsei shavui. If she actually is dead, then he would just be able to take it. But we don't know that she's dead. Rava Amar, and Rava says, that once you have an apotropos on one half of it, you have an apotropos on the other half of it as well. Meaning, we're not going to split the chelek of the daughter that's might still be alive in captivity and do two different things with it. We'll just have an apotropos take care of the whole thing, and it'll take like an aris, and it'll distribute the funds. Meaning, the assumption is that normally you won't have an apotropos for an adult. So that's why Abai is saying, oh, we don't do an apotropos for an adult. Rav is saying, yeah, he's really an apotropos for the kid. Once he's an apotropos for the kid, he could be another portion of the apotropos, you know, of his apotropsus that works for an adult as well. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the case of someone shows up and he claims to be a brother, but you never knew you had a brother. So Mari Bar Isak Asalei Acha Bechozai. A brother came, Mi Bechozai, from a place called Bechozai, because their father Isaac went to Bechozai, apparently got married there, apparently had a child there, and Murray was there and went down to Nichsei Aviv. So Amalei Plogli, so now the brother comes and he says, I want you to divide the Nechasim with our deceased father with me, because I also yarshin him. So Amalei, Murray Barisik says, Lo Yadanalach, I don't know who you are. Also the Kamei Dirav Chista, so the brother came in front of Rav Chista, and he came with this tiny, and he said, look, I'm a brother, I'm entitled to half of the Yerusha. So Amalei Rav Chista said to the brother, Shapir Karmelach, that Mari Bar Yisak has a good taina, that he doesn't know who you are. He's not a Ramai with that taina. You know, the last time you saw each other, you were a little boy, and now you have a long beard. So how's he supposed to know who you are? How do you know? It's not so easy to know. I mean, apparently he knew he had a brother. He just didn't know that this guy is his brother. And now the guy has a beard, and the last time you saw him, he was a child. And we know that you don't necessarily recognize people as adults if you only knew them when they were children. Because the pasuk says, "Ve'yakar Yosef esachav ve'heim lo ikiru." Yosef recognized his brothers who were already adults when he was sold down to Mitzrayim, but they didn't recognize him. Because he was unbearded previously, and now he has a beard. I get that all the time. My picture on the YU Torah thing is without a beard, and on all daf is without a beard. Everyone thinks I'm my father. So Amrlei. So Rav Chista said to that brother, "Zil iti." Sadi dachuat, bring a raya that you're in fact his brother. Amalei isli sadi. So the guy said to Rav Chista, I have edim, but they don't want to come to testify because v'dachli minei. They're terrified of Mari Bar Yisuk de gavra limahu, because he's a terrifying person. He's a gangster, so they don't want to testify against, you know, in anything that's going to harm him. But I have witnesses; they're just terrified of him. So Amalei l'didei. So Rav Chista turned to Mari Bar Yisuk and said, Zil ant isli sadi d'lavachuchu. Now it's up to you to bring Edim, that he's not your brother. Amalei, Dinahi said, that's the din. I have to bring a raya that he's not my brother. father. I'm muksuk in the karka. Let him bring a raya to take it away from me. So I'm later, Chis said to Mary Barisik, Hachi Danin Lach, he'll call it Limit the Chavrach. Well, this is what we do to all gangsters, that because people are terrified to testify against you and we don't have a witness protection program, so you're going to have to be the one that brings the witnesses. So I'm later, Mary Barisik says, well, what's it going to help that I'm going to bring Edom? Sof, Asusadi, Velo Masadi. In the end of the day, since they're afraid of me, the Edom are going to come and they're not going to be made like my brother saying. They're going to lie for me also, meaning if you really hold that I'm a gangster, so I'll produce Edom that will say anything. You know, well, how can you trust Edom that I'm going to bring? So I'm like, Tarti lo avdi. No, we're not choshed that people are going to do that, meaning we're choshed that people are going to, we're choshed to some extent that people are going to are going to be afraid to testify, but that people are going to come testify and then testify falsely just because you're a gangster. We don't think people are going to do that. L'sof asusadi dachuhu. He brought Edom that testified that he was his brother. Amalei liflogli pardise ubustani deshasal. So he said, I want you to split with the vineyards and the trees that were planted. So Amalei shapir kamalach. He's saying right. It's not. That he has the right to half of whatever that you've produced. Okay, so we're in the middle of the story, but Be'ez Hashem, we'll finish the story tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Good to see you, Michal. That looks like a very cheerful hotel room. Looks like a very cheerful hotel room. I can't go out of my mind.
Yeah, wonderful.
Right.
Have a good one.
Right. Okay. 3 weeks in a hotel room. Oh.